You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Philip Jordan Show. I am your host, Philip Jordan, in studio host and producer of the Most Football on 96.9 The Legend and Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. On today's show, we're going to look at some weekend headlines. Caitlin Clark breaking Pete Maravich's scoring record. We'll look at some Alabama and Auburn basketball. Where do things stand in the SEC as we're getting closer and closer to the end of the regular season? And we'll even go over some big NFL headlines and some recruiting news for Auburn Tigers. And also, I'll be joined by Jay Stevens from Locked On Buckeyes and the Jay Stevens Podcast. We will discuss the potential 14-team college football playoff. We hadn't even played the 12-team playoff yet. We're already talking about expanded. We'll also take a look at Ohio State Buckeyes, who have been very busy in the offseason, adding to the roster and have added some former SEC talent. All that and more on today's edition of The Philip Jordan Show. You can check out The Philip Jordan Show podcast over at wiregrassdailynews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. All right, first up, some weekend headlines, and I may try to start doing this early in the week, Tuesday shows and stuff like that, kind of go over some other stuff happening in sports on the weekend. And I was trying to think, what were the big storylines over the weekend? You know, we either go to football with the combine and stuff like that. I mean, look, Underwear Olympics is basically what that is. It's hard to have too many big takeaways from that. We're going to have some draft people on the podcast between now and the NFL draft. So I just figured you don't need to really dive too much into the to the combine, even though we'll allude to one quarterback and some draft news. But the combine itself, I didn't really want to jump into that. Alabama-Auburn basketball, obviously big. They had some big games this weekend, especially Alabama with game day being there in Tuscaloosa. And interesting stuff with some NFL developments at quarterback, particularly I think could impact the Atlanta Falcons. And like I said, Auburn's got some recruiting stuff I wanted to go over too. But just I wanted to actually start off, I think, what I think is the biggest storyline of the weekend. That's from Sunday. Iowa's guard Caitlin Clark breaking the Pete Maravich's all-time record for points scored in a college career. Of course, this is a record that has been held since 1970. She needed 17 points going into the game. She got the points with a free throw toward the end there in the first half. Reading her comments, she didn't even really realize it was that close until people started yelling and cheering. And okay, now I know what's going on here. They did win the game 93-83. Did Iowa over Ohio State. She scored 35 points in the game. She averaging 32.2 points per game this year, getting a record. I just think this is the top story, and for many different reasons. She had a lot of stars come out for this historic moment. It was a tough ticket if you could get one for this game. And, you know, of course, you're going to have some people that are going to try to be naysayers about it. That, you know, Pete Maravich didn't have the three-point line. He did it quicker than she did and all that stuff. But still, it's a tremendous accomplishment. And really, she is the biggest star in college basketball, in my opinion, when you add men and women. She's a star. She's a must-see attraction. What she can do on the court, just her scoring ability. She's a really good passer, over 1,000 assists in her career. So she's done really well, and she's done a lot of big things for the women's game as well. I think more people are getting to see how well the women's game can be. It can be looked at more as pure basketball. The passing, just the movement and everything else goes on around with it. And I kind of wondered, like, as we get into tournament season, look, I know March Madness, the men's tournament, is going to get bigger ratings than the women's tournament. We all know this. This is, we don't doubt this. But I would like to see what the ratings look like when I was playing. With Caitlin Clark, eyeballs will be on her, be on that team. And it's good for, like, again, the women's game. And she's a bigger star than any star we have in the men's game. And a big reason that is because you know the names. You know, even in college football, which, of course, when we move around with transfer portal and stuff like that, you still have stars. They're there 2 to 3 years. You know their names. And that's how it is with women's basketball. Women typically stay in college a few years, unlike the men. They come in and play one great year. They're off to the NBA. And here with women's basketball, like Caitlin Clark, she's been around all these years. She's 22 years old. We've learned about her. We know about her. We've seen her progress in this career. We've seen her dominate and have big games year in, year out. And she's a bigger star. I mean, we don't have that in the men's side of things. And we don't have a great team either in the men's tournament. There's probably 10, 15 teams that probably can win the national championship this year. So it's big. And then that's why I thought this was the top story from this past weekend. Now, I was looking into other stuff, Alabama and Auburn. Auburn gets a win, bounce back after the tough loss against Tennessee. Dalton Kinnick was just, man, that was a man possessed on Wednesday night out. Auburn just had nothing for him. But they did get a win against Mississippi State, 78-73. Now, Auburn lost at their place earlier in the year. Janiah Broom had another big game, 17 points. Denver Jones had 15 points in this game. He was 3 of 5 from three, and he had struggled at times this year with the threes. And that was a player I think a lot of people was hoping for Auburn that he would really step up and be a player they could rely on this year. It's kind of been up and down at times with him this year. But Auburn overall was 9 of 19 from three. Didn't shoot a whole lot of threes, but they did make a good amount of the ones that did take. And that's something Auburn's going to need too. You can't just rely on Janiah Broom, Dylan Cardwell, and also, you know, Jalen Williams, the big man, which Jalen Williams is a really good three-point shooter too as well. Janiah can knock one down as well, but not really just only relying on your bigs. I think that's been an issue for Auburn last couple of seasons. Of course, especially we remember with Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith, that was a problem too as well. But guard play is going to be big, being able to hit those threes for Auburn. Play Missouri on Tuesday. That should be a win for Auburn so they can keep on going that direction. Now, Alabama, they did lose to Tennessee 81-74. For Tennessee, this guy Ziegler had 18 points, and the Vols take over top in the SEC. But if Alabama and Tennessee were tied for that spot. And with Alabama losing both games to Tennessee, tiebreakers is just not working out in his favor. But Tennessee's got some tough games this week. They will be at South Carolina, who is a top 25 team, on Wednesday. And then they will be at home against Kentucky on Saturday. And you just don't know what you're going to get. Kentucky cannot stop anybody. That defense is horrible. But we'll see what Tennessee does there for Alabama. They're playing Florida on Tuesday night. Now, Florida sits at sixth place in the SEC. They are 10-6. Tennessee's, like I said, at top at 13-3. You got Alabama 12-4. Then you got South Carolina at 12-4. Kentucky and Auburn are tied at 11-5, but Kentucky holds the tiebreaker with the win. Like I said, Florida sits there at 10-6. So Florida's a really good team, too. And I was seeing with Joe Lunardi, bracketology, looking like we could probably have seven SEC teams in the tournament. So we'll see how that goes. See how this week goes. Big week of games. Like I said, Tennessee's got two really good opponents this week. And then, of course, Alabama's got to play Florida. Auburn gets a little easier with Missouri. So we'll see how those goes. Those games go on that front. Just quick NFL stuff. I got a couple more things I'll get to before we get to today's interview. Denver Broncos will be releasing Russell Wilson next week. He spent 2 years there, just a disaster. Russell Wilson's nowhere near the quarterback he was. We even saw this at Seattle toward the end. He's just not the same guy. QBR rating in the last 2 years, ranked like 25th in the NFL. Just hasn't been good. He was better this past year, but still not Russell Wilson that the Broncos were expecting to get, and it has not been anywhere close to what he once was. Now, the Broncos have the number 12 pick. I've seen some stuff, talked on sports talk shows and seen some stuff online. Maybe perhaps Sean Payton likes J.J. McCarthy. You know, J.J. McCarthy is that's a tough thing because he played well at Michigan, but they didn't ask a lot of him. So he doesn't have the reps of the throws that like a Drake May, a Caleb Williams may have. He's got talent. He's got mobility. A lot of people have looked at him and said he looks like a Sean Payton quarterback, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes down with him. Now, Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show on Monday, and he did talk about there could be 6 quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft. Now, of course, as I mentioned, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jay Daniels. Those three look like a lock. Seeing that the Patriots really do like Jaden Daniels. There's been now some, I've seen some places debate between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, maybe at number two. What will the Washington Commanders do there? Feels like if the Bears keep the pick, they're going to go with Caleb Williams. But some people, you can look at that side of things. Justin Fields played well. So that's the Bears have a tough decision. Could you trade out? Could somebody else get that number one pick? Could you pick up something else, another need for your team? We'll see. The Bears are a very interesting situation. It just depends on how much. Do they believe Justin Fields can take them to that next level? Or do they think Caleb Williams? Because Caleb Williams, everybody says, I can't miss talent. I think he's super talented. I wouldn't say can't miss. I worry that he tries to be Patrick Mahomes too much and the interceptions come. But some other quarterbacks, as I just mentioned, J.J. McCarthy, Adam Schefter always also talked about Bo Nix in there and Michael Penix. And I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah a podcast last week. I forget which one. And he was talking about, of all these quarterbacks, you see Bo Nix would probably be the best candidate to start first out of all of them just because how many snaps he's taken in college. Remember, that's 3 years at Auburn, 2 years at Oregon. He's got 5 years of college ball. So he has a lot of – he's the most experienced quarterback here. And then Michael Penix is another one. But injury stuff, that's kind of like been the big question mark with him. So we'll see how that goes. We still got a long ways to go. And we'll just kind of see where the quarterback deal goes here. And then real quickly, some recruiting news for Auburn Tigers. Four-star running back out of Mississippi, Acklin Deere, names Auburn, is one of his top 12. He is part of the 2025 recruiting class. Other teams he is looking at: Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Miami, Texas, Florida State, Florida, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss. So the recruiting battle is never over. So Hugh Freeze has continued to add player there, talent there. Of course, Auburn is in the midst of spring practice. Alabama should be getting going here pretty soon. So we'll be having some more conversations on what's going on in the spring as well. So that's going to do it for some headlines to open up the show. We'll take a one-minute timeout. Then return, I'll be joined by Jay Stevens from Locked On Buckeyes and the Jay Stevens Podcast, where we will go about 15 minutes talking about our thoughts on the potential expanding of the college football playoff to 14 teams. And, of course, we'll talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. We'll be back in 1 minute.
96.9 The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows like Rick and Bubba in the morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits, 106.7 KMX, Today's Country, 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7. Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
You're listening to the Philip Jordan Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back in to the Philip Jordan Show. You know, the Ohio State Buckeyes have been very, very busy this offseason in college football, a lot of additions. They've gone through two offensive coordinators so far. Ryan Day giving up play calling duties, and very interesting. Probably a favorite to win, be number one next year, along with Georgia Bulldogs. And joining me to talk about all things Ohio State Buckeyes, and we're going to get into some college football stuff, is Jay Stevens. You can check him out over on the Jay Stevens Podcast, and of course, every day over on Locked On Buckeyes. And Jay, I appreciate you coming on.
Philip, I love it. Love being here with you. And yes, it has been a busy, abnormally busy offseason for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we were kind of conversating off the air a little bit here. And I hadn't realized that I hadn't had you on this show since all the Buckeye news has happened. I mean, pretty much rebuilt their roster and some very important spots, kept some very important players as well. But, you know, we were texting earlier in the day and we decided, you know, before we jump into the Buckeyes, I talked about being a number one team, possibly a number one seed in the 12-team playoff next season. But, man, it looks like a 2026. There's been conversation. We have not even got the 12-team playoff on the field. We haven't even played a game in the regular season for the 12-team playoff. There's already conversations in 2026 going to a 14-team playoff. Now, I know we have talked before. I know you are not for the playoff expansion, but you hear 14-team playoff. What comes to mind?
College football is trying to be like the NFL. I think it's really, really weird that they're thinking about going down this road, that they want to go to a 14-team playoff before you even start the 12-team playoff. If that's the case, why didn't you make it a 14-team playoff now? Mm-hmm. What are we waiting 2 years for? Because the contract's up? You guys have already found a way to implement a new system in the current contract. So why wait a couple years for a new contract? It doesn't make any sense at all. But this is the sport we live in. Like, I do believe money is influencing the conversations that these people are having. And it's not just them making more money. It's everybody making more money. I saw in a report, and I believe there was Chris Vanini of The Athletic. He reported on it. Heather Dinich reported on it. I believe Pete Thamel reported on it. They're talking about, hey, the Big Ten and SEC in the 14-team playoff model, they will get three teams apiece in the new playoff. So 3-3, that's six. And then 2-2 would be two for the Big 12, two for the ACC, one for the group of five, and then three at-large bids. What are we waiting for? Nothing's going to change, Philip, between now and then for you to say, oh, down the road, the Big Ten and SEC deserve more people in the playoff in a couple years than they do now. No! Every single year, except for this past year, the Pac-12 was better than the Big Ten. But 9 times out of 10, the Big Ten is the second best conference in the country. The SEC is the first. Hands down, no questions asked. So what are we waiting for? I'm not a fan of going to 12 or 14 or 18. Philip, in 30 years, we can have a 64. Well, actually, that might be a little bit too far projecting. In 15 years, we can have a 64-team playoff bracket because the powers that be want to make more money. You can't tell me 64 teams makes the sport better, but it makes them more money.
I mean, even look at basketball. I mean, there's discussions on making that 96 teams.
Stupid.
I don't. I mean, there comes a point now. Why do you even play the regular season?
Yes.
I mean, at that point, because it still needs to be hard to make a playoff. Now, look, I think at 12, there is still some difficulty. There's going to be good teams that do not make it. We'll probably still end up with the same teams we always end up with in the Final Four and the National Championship game, but we will get some good games on there. Now, I was proponent of – I was not against 12, but I wasn't for 12 right now.
Yeah.
I think let's add four more teams. At the time, my thought process was if you – I don't really like automatic qualifiers because, look, we just talked about the NFL. How many times do we hate it when a team with a losing record wins a division in the NFL, but they get to host a home playoff game?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you were going to have to make all the commissioners happy. So, and at the time, we still had five Power Five conferences. I said, okay, I guess you probably have to do a deal. If you did eight, all five conference champions get in. And if Notre Dame is okay or really good, they get in. So then you're basically looking, okay, we got two at-larges. Maybe a group of five can get in, and then whoever's one of those better teams. But then at 12, it's like, okay, of course, we're getting that 5+7 format. And I'm telling you what, Jay, I'll get your thoughts. If I was Notre Dame, I'd be mad about this because, I mean, I know they had a say and they voted for the format they're going with, but Notre Dame could be the best team in the country.
Yeah.
The coming year. I don't mm-hmm. think be, but let's just play if they were. Number one in all the rankings won't matter because they're not in a conference. It's the four conference champions are going to be your top four seeds. And then Notre Dame is going to have to play four games to win a championship versus other teams they could be better than. Like I said, I don't think they'll be the best team in college football, but that's just an interesting – I'll say I think they're getting kind of screwed over.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. They are getting screwed over. And Philip, one of my biggest pet peeves, it's not so much the expansion of the playoff because I knew it was going to happen eventually. Why in the world are we trying to give people that win their conference championship games a upper hand over teams that they are not better than?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're in the SEC, the Big Ten, I don't care what conference you're in. If you win your conference and you're clearly not the best team in the country, to me, you don't, or one of the best teams in the country, to me, you don't deserve a bye. I have always said, rank them like you always have, and then the top 12, you rank them 1 through 12. And if the top 3 are conference champions and the 4th is not, cool. That 4th one still gets a bye. Why? Because they're the 4th best team in the country. But for some reason, they believe you win that 13th game, you deserve that over somebody that didn't. Even if, Philip, that one team that didn't play in the conference championship game, they could be 11-1. The conference champion could be 8-4, a la Kansas State a couple years ago. Was no playoff format back then as far as 12 teams, but I believe they were an 8-4 conference champion before, being at the time. And I was like, wait, and they got here? It'd be weird, man. It would be very, very, very weird. It's also going to be weird, Philip, when we get a team that has a 3-loss national champion. It's still weird to me that it was a 10-2 LSU team that won the national championship over 10 plus years ago. But we're going to get a team 9-3. You want to see a big uproar? 8-4 in about 5. Yeah, I guarantee you it's going to be an 8-4 team that gets hot at the end of the year. All of a sudden, they win the national championship. They're like, wait, what happened? Oh, it's like the NCAA tournament. You can barely get in, get hot, get 6 wins in a row, and win the tournament. You could have had a really subpar season, but hey, you found a way to get in and you won. 14 team, I don't care. Make it the 14th best teams in the country. To me, that puts a better product on the field and it'll make you more money because there's more eyeballs watching the game. But Philip, what do I know? What do we know? I know we're on opposite sides of the expansion talk, which is fine. Like, I don't really care. Like, I respect people that don't agree with someone they're talking to, especially about this stuff. I respect you a lot for that. But if you're going to expand it, give me the 12 best teams, regardless of conference.
Yeah, no, I agree with that point because I'm like you said, okay, I'm just going to throw an example out there for you. And this may be hinting at who I think is going to be in the SEC championship game in 2024. Georgia and Texas, to me, going into the season, which this show is airing.
Quinn Ewers, huh?
Yeah, I think Georgia Texas.
The guy that used Ohio State to make a million. I'm just joking. I don't know if he really, that was his reasoning for coming to Ohio State, but you know what I'm saying.
But, look, and Alabama fans are going to get mad at me for saying this, but I think Georgia and Texas are the best two teams right now on paper going into 2024 season. So let's just say those two teams. And I do believe they play each other during the regular season. I don't have any of the schedule in front of me. This is just a thought. One of them is going to have one loss if they play each other. What if the one during the regular season loses? Then how do you justify that? Because then they split. It is, and we're going to get matchups if we keep the conference championship games. We're going to get repeat matchups of that. There's a chance you could have teams play 3 times in a year. But to your point, you could have an upset or have a situation where, okay, you have a 1-loss team that lost their conference championship game. Particularly if it's from the SEC or the Big Ten, the two premier conferences in the country, they fall back to a 5 or 6, and then you could have a Big 12, or you could have an ACC champion that's not as good as that team that lost, but they got the bias. And I think you can get a team that goes on a run because look at it. After the first round, they're going to both sides. They're neutral. There's no more home field advantage. And I'm not a fan of that either. You know what I think? They should have a neutral site when they get to the championship game. The rest of it should be on. Because then I think also everybody's worried about this diluting and diminishing the regular season. Well, if you say, okay, the best teams get home field advantage throughout the postseason except when you get to the championship game, like we do with the Super Bowl, that's incentive to have a better record too, because you want to have all these games on campus at your home. Can't you imagine a early January game in Columbus or a game in Athens? The energy, like almost like a conference championship, like feel like we get with the ASN. It would be great. And please, I saw this when this first came out. People were talking about, well, we may have to move it to an NFL stadium if one of our teams. No. You find a way to play this mess on campus.
Ohio State athletic director. No, not Ann. It was the Ohio State athletic director. It was like, hey, well, with the playoff format, if we host a game, we'll move it to Indianapolis, which is 3 hours away because, well, weather and stuff. But I'm like, sir, do you know how dumb you sound right now? You play in one of the largest football stadiums in the country, but you want to move it to cut down on 40,000 seats because of weather? Do you think the team all that has been put together at Ohio State can't withstand some snow and some rain? If you don't think they can, maybe the team needs to be put together a little bit better because you play in the Midwest. There are no dome stadiums in the Big Ten Conference. Not now. That may happen in down the road, but not now. That's stupid. I mean, I don't understand a lot of the stupidity in this sport. We love this sport, Philip. We don't say we love a lot of things in life. We love this sport. And here we are talking about a format and a playoff that before things even get started, they're going to change it. It's not even broke. Like, the 12-team format isn't broke, but they're already trying to fix it before it potentially breaks, but they don't know if it's going to break. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
That's like fixing a brand new car before you even drove it. I mean,
right?
You didn't need to. I mean, right? It's fine. let's drive it first and make sure it doesn't work. Then we'll work on some stuff. Yeah,
that's it.
We could probably jump on this topic all day. I will say this, and I will jump into Ohio State. It would be interesting to see an SEC team have to go up to Big Ten country in that weather because they're just not used to it. Missouri would be probably the only team in SEC equipped.
They're not. I mean, yeah, I'll give you that. I get
to deal
Missouri,
with it.
Missouri, Kentucky, Missouri, yeah. And Kentucky are those two. I'll make this quick though. You're talking about like teams from the south going up north. Could you imagine the Florida Gators having to come to Columbus? Let's just say it's second, third week of December, dude. That would be wild. One, I don't know the last time the Gators have come to Columbus, if ever, so that's one thing there. But two, those Florida boys hitting that cold wind in December, they might not be ready for it. Not saying they're going to win, they're going to lose the game. Like, I have no idea, but like that wind hits different when it's 20 degrees outside.
Yeah, well, the way the Billy Napier program is going right now, I wouldn't be hedging my bets that they'll be in a situation to be up there. We may want to go with the Florida State Seminoles or Mike Norvell before we worry about Billy
Napier.
They're
not in the Southeastern Conference yet. Might be coming soon, but not yet.
Well, we'll table that for another time. I don't think they're ever going to be in the SEC, but we'll talk more about that off air down the road. I'll let you know why I think that. Ohio State. As I said off the top, I was introducing you, and we went longer on the playoff discussion than I thought we would go, but, you know, it's great conversation. Ohio State. So, now, Jay, you cover this team. I know maybe I'll have some crossover listeners here, some Ohio State people maybe checking out the show today. They've lost 3 straight to Michigan. And I preface this question with you off the air. Is there heat? And I've asked this question, I know, every offseason since they've lost to Michigan. Mm-hmm. Is Ryan Day under pressure? Is there some heat on Ryan Day right now?
Yeah. You know how a kid, when you're younger, they are trying to figure out what is what in life. They don't know the stove is hot. They don't know there's different temperatures to the water in the shower. They're trying to figure things out. But the moment you realize, I go back to the stove illustration, the moment a youngster realizes that stove is hot, they instantly move their hand and make some quick changes. And I think Ryan Day realizes that seat is hot, and he quickly made some changes with the roster. Now, I have seen the narrative out there that Ryan Day and Ohio State have won the portal, won the offseason. He has not made a lot of moves. He's made very good moves that have been well calculated. I don't think he's made major upgrades in every area that I would like for him to, tight end, quarterback. But I do think bringing in Judkins and Downs and McLaughlin, I think those are needed additions when you can get those guys to come to campus. But yes, absolutely. Just like a little kid, when they hit that stove when it's hot and they instantly move their hand and make a change, mentally saying, hey, we ain't doing this anymore. Ryan Day realizes his seat is hot and he quickly made some changes. And we hope the result is that's not going to happen anymore. That being losing to Michigan.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. You know, of his career, that's three losses. That's three big losses. You like to lose them all in a row. I mean, yeah. They haven't won since 2019 because, of course, there wasn't a game in 2020 during the COVID season. And how much does Michigan winning the national championship add to that pressure? I mean, I know Jim Harbaugh's gone. He's gone. And, look, I'll just say this from someone in the South looking at, you know, Michigan. I don't think Michigan's going to be as good because they've lost a lot of key players to that championship team. But still, your arch rival, because I know it down here, Alabama and Auburn, one does one thing, the other wants to do the same thing, and it just bothers them. How much of that Michigan winning the national championship adds to that pressure?
I think the pressure was there before that game even was played or even that matchup was even put out there. I think it was mainly, one, losing to Michigan three straight times, the seat is super hot. That poor performance in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri, I think that added to it. Mm-hmm. I think it was at an all-time high for Ryan Day. That is his seat, the temperature of his seat, before the Rose Bowl, where Michigan beat Alabama in overtime, before the national championship game, where Michigan beat Washington to win the national championship. And I do believe Quinshon Judkins, a guy that I don't think I mentioned earlier, he announced his commitment to Ohio State within minutes of that national championship game being completed on purpose to send a message to the Wolverines. And you know what's weird? I know Michigan won the national championship. I saw more national guys talking about Quinshon Judkins than Michigan winning the national championship. And I'm not saying it's an Ohio State thing, but I think they acknowledged, hey, this makes Ohio State better. Yes, Michigan won the final trophy of the year. But that game in the fall should not be the same as the previous three. And here's a big reason why it might be different in this upcoming season. It's weird, man. It is very weird the way things have gone at Ohio State this year.
Yeah, which I told people, look down here, obviously, what within a week of that, Michigan winning, Nick Saban retires. And then all the stuff going on with that. It really felt like, okay, after two or three days, we wouldn't even talk about Michigan anymore with anything. And I don't feel like we've done that in the past with national champions. I mean, look, again, I'm not trying to continue flex that I'm in the South and the success, but you look at the SEC, when Alabama has won one, the conversation would always be, okay, will they win another one with Nick Saban and stuff like that? When LSU won with Joe Burrow, that's okay. Can Coach O keep that going? And then it was with Georgia. Will they three-peat? That was a constant conversation in the offseason. Michigan, everything else happened with the portal, NIL, the playoff talk I was talking about. Look, we're barely into March. It hadn't even been 2 months since they won a national championship. We don't even talk about it anymore. It's like gone. It's old news. And we're looking at Ohio State. I mean, we talk about portal. I mean, I never thought I would see today the starting quarterback for Ohio State would transfer to Syracuse.
Yeah, of all places.
So I'm going to ask you this, Jay. Why did Kyle McCord leave?
Ryan Day wouldn't commit to him for next year to be a starting quarterback. The reasoning behind that, I don't know. I don't think McCord was terrible last year. I think he did a lot of good things. Was it 3,100 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, less than 10 interceptions in your first year as a full-time starter and 12 games? It's not bad, Phillip. Like, it's not bad at all. There's a lot of schools in the country that would beg for quarterback play that Kyle McCord could provide for them in 2024. But I don't believe Ryan Day wanted to commit to McCord for whatever reason. I don't know. And McCord goes to Syracuse. And I do believe he was recruited by someone he had known for a long time from Jersey. So there was like a long history and ties between him and a coach there, which why it made that the right fit. Also allows his family to easier watch him play with him being now in Syracuse, New York versus Columbus, Ohio, with him being a Jersey kid. But it was weird, man. That transfer announcement didn't – I worked part-time at FedEx in the morning. So I'm at work about – literally, the portal opened at 7 Eastern. And I looked down on my phone, maybe 7:04. I don't know the exact time. And I was like, nah, ain't no way. Ain't no way. And so I did something I shouldn't do. I searched on Twitter while I'm working to try to figure out, hey – is this real life? And unfortunately, it was real. And I'm like, what? Like, I heard that he was not going to be given the QB1 title for 2024. I'm like, okay, cool. Get him to compete. Hit the portal as soon as it's open? It's Ohio State. And I do believe, I know Will Howard came over. I'm getting a little ahead of myself and you, Philip, but I talk a lot. You understand this part about me and the show. I don't know if Will Howard is that big of an upgrade or an upgrade at all over Kyle McCord. I don't. And some may say, Jay, you're just a hater. No, I've watched Will Howard's film. It's not that hot. He's solid. He's a good quarterback. He's a starting quarterback at a Power 5 level. That is what he is. I don't see him as a future first-round pick, second-round pick, third-round pick. I don't see that from him. I don't see him being a guy who's going to throw for 4,500 passing yards and 48 passing touchdowns in the upcoming year. I don't see those numbers from him. I see a guy who can make throws, occasionally has a big arm, not the most accurate guy who can move with his legs, but I don't think they'll need him to use his legs. So if he's one-dimensional, Philip, I don't really trust him yet. So I'm up in the air with this thing, man. Like, McCord gone cool. I wanted better from McCord. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't perfect. I wanted better. But you have a hard time showing me and trying to get me to believe that Will Howard is a major upgrade or maybe even an upgrade at all over Kyle McCord. It's a weird state of Ohio State football right now, man. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and you're not the only person I've heard say that about Will Howard, that how much of an upgrade if he is one over Kyle McCord. I think at worst they're the same. They're equal. I don't think Will Howard is worse than Kyle McCord, but maybe he's not exactly better. I think maybe the one thing for me that puts him over the top, and you mentioned he may not need this from him, but he is more of a running quarterback. I mean, look, we know what Kyle McCord was. He was a stationary, in the pocket quarterback. Nothing wrong with that, but that's kind of what he was.
Yeah.
So, and I think with Bill O'Brien, now this is going to jump to the offensive coordinator conversation. Now, I believe if Bill O'Brien had stayed on, I don't really think he's going to use Will Howard in those ways anyways. No. As a runner. I just don't think he is. I mean, he could have used Bryce Young that way when he was off court in Alabama. And trust me, I think Bill O'Brien is a good coach. I think he was a good head coach in the NFL. He's a bad general manager. I think he did a good job at Penn State his 2 years he was there.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Phenomenal job.
Following what he had to follow at Penn State, and I'm just going to leave it at there. We're not going to revisit anything that happened there at that school. He did a good job. Christian Hackenberg looked his best his freshman year at Penn State when Bill O'Brien was the head coach. James Franklin ruined that quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a good coach. I don't think he did a bad job at Alabama, but Alabama fans were kind of snickering a little bit down here about it. I'm like, he's not really that bad. But now you go to Chip Kelly. And look, that's we'll have to do this again sometime, talk about these coaches taking coordinator jobs down the road. We've gone 25 minutes. I think if we jumped in that conversation, we'd be going another hour, perhaps. But still, what we've seen to Chip Kelly, we know what he's done with quarterbacks that can run and the style of offense he wants to run. So it just I know Will Howard committed way before Chip Kelly was there. I feel like he is a better fit for the Chip Kelly offense than maybe what Kyle McCord would have been.
You know, part of me wonders if Chip Kelly was always the first choice, but Ryan Day couldn't get him out of Southern California until after Bill O'Brien started to have rumors of him going to Boston College. I firmly believe that. Because I don't think there's a person in the sport that follows it at our level, Philip, that would say, Bill O'Brien's a better offensive coordinator in college than Chip Kelly. I don't think anybody would say that, which makes you wonder, if Bill O'Brien didn't leave, would Ohio State's quarterback play be good in the fall? And this is not a knock on the quarterbacks. It's more what you stated, not utilizing every part of that player's skill set. Chip Kelly's going to squeeze that orange so tight and get all the juice out of it. That's what he does. I think back to the quarterbacks that he had. Now, I know Joey Harrington, on the cover of the video game, too. I don't know where that came from. Joey Harrington,
long time
way
ago. We're aging ourselves, Jay. We are aging ourselves.
Joey Harrington was there before Chip Kelly. But I know he had Marcus Mariota. I want to say he had Dennis Dixon. He had LaMichael James was there in the backfield. Mm-hmm. So many great guys. But what did he do? Very similar to what Nick Saban did down in Tuscaloosa. Got a lot out of you and maybe more out of you than what you thought you might be able to put out there on the field. Which makes me believe this Buckeyes offense in the fall, if Will Howard gets 5% better, not 10% or 15. If Will Howard gets 5% better, and a lot of it comes with the accuracy and knowing how to properly maneuver in the backfield using his legs, man, this offense could be scary. I'm not ready to say that yet. I actually recently did a show grading the Buckeyes position groups, and I was really kind of upset with how I graded it because I expected better. And I do expect better from the Buckeyes offense, and they might get that in the fall with Chip Kelly calling the shots. I'm excited about that hire. Really excited. Because I do believe it could be a good fit. And what's to say Ryan Day's not planning to go back to the NFL and maybe Chip Kelly's the next head coach at Ohio State? I'm not too fond of that if that's the actual case. But I am a fan of Chip Kelly being the offensive coordinator and play caller in Columbus.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too thrilled if him a head coach because he really seems like a guy that doesn't like to recruit. The recruiting thing, it seems like that's not his favorite thing to do.
And obviously, he hadn't put the best roster. Yeah, you say recruiting, true. That's, I would say putting rosters like I'm in the NFL. Transfer portal, too. Like, roster construction, not his best quality at all.
Even back with Oregon, when they were getting to national championship, I mean, they were one of the most talented team out there. I mean, it's not like he was stacking Oregon with talent, not like Oregon is now. Oregon's actually in a better spot now than they were when Chip Kelly was there.
Yes.
Even though they are yet to play for a national championship again since he left. We spent a lot of time on the offense. I just do want to touch on the defense real quick before we get out of here or get you out of here. Jake Sawyer, a lot of guys coming back. Denzel Burke, one of the best defensive backs in college football returning. This was the best pass defense of all of college football last year, only giving up 147 yards through the air. And that is big time today's college football, today's football in general, where the ball is in the air constantly. And then Ohio State got gifted because Nick Saban decided to retire. Caleb Downs, Alabama's great young free safety. 107 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions. Great player there, Alabama. He is headed to Ohio State. Shocking, you know, we talked about this off air, I think, that everybody thought it was going to Georgia.
Yeah.
That was just the assumption, and then it was shocking to everybody down here. He goes to Ohio State. Just you look at his defense, all the pieces they have returning, and then you add Caleb Downs. How good or even can this defense be even better than it was last season?
Yeah, it can. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I could easily see this team. I was gonna make a prediction about statistics and how Ohio State's defense might be. My one hiccup, and they're going to be better. I do believe they're going to be better. Like, they're easily going to have one of the best defensive lines in the conference, one of the best secondaries in the conference, one of the best D lines and secondaries in the entire country. Like, I literally believe when you have Igbinosa, Hancock, Burke, you got Ransom, and you got Downs, as you mentioned. Those five guys are future NFL players, and Downs would be a draft pick in the upcoming NFL draft in 2025 if he was eligible to come out. On the defensive front, you got Tuimoloau Sawyer, like you mentioned. You have Ty Hamilton. You have Tyleek Williams. All four of those guys are going to get drafted, and maybe three of the four are day one, early day two picks. Like, they are that good. The issue to me, though, Phillip, is a linebacker spot. Linebacker play has not been up to par at Ohio State under Ryan Day. It's actually been one of the few sore spots position group wise in regards to Ryan Day's tenure at Ohio State. But I do believe this is a year where things start to get better and the pay starts to turn, the tide starts to turn and flip to the Buckeyes' way. I do believe that. So defensively, it will be better. It should be better. They get better linebacker play. I mean, this could be one of the best defenses in the country. And I'm not making no all-time saying, oh, they're going to be better than the 0-1 Hurricanes. I'm not that stupid. I will not say that. It would be weird of me to do that, too. I still think the Hurricanes, that 0-1 team was the best team I've ever seen in my life. But, yeah, no, the defense will be better.
I'll close with this. Would you – I think the two most talented rosters – I'm not saying right now, I'm not, you know, predicting these will be the number one or two teams when we get to the first rankings or whatever. But I feel like the best two rosters talent-wise are Ohio State and Georgia. I think Texas isn't far behind. We'll see what happens in Alabama. I think there's going to be a lot of action with Alabama in the transfer portal post-spring because everybody that lost. But right now, I think Georgia and Ohio State are two most talented teams. So it's going to be – we have a long ways to go. We haven't got to spring practice. Oh, a lot of these teams, we haven't got through spring games, and we still got draft season coming up. But still, it's going to be fun looking ahead to the 2024 college football season.
Can't wait.
In the words of Josh Pate, there is no off season in this sport. But Jay, let everybody know out there where they can find you. Check out your show. Where can they find you?
Philip, you can follow the Jay Stevens podcast on the any audio podcast platform you utilize. Apple, Spotify, those are two that are pretty popular. You can also get the show Locked On Buckeyes there on the YouTube and also any audio podcast platform you utilize as well. Jay Stevens podcast once a week. Locked On Buckeyes every Monday through Friday, talking Buckeyes every single day. And Philip, one thing I want to leave you with, it's not so much about a show. This coming Saturday, I get to cover a high school basketball game in the biggest high school gym in the country. This is one thing I never thought I would ever be able to do. I'm actually really excited about it. One of the local teams where I live is in regionals in the state tournament. And they're making an hour and a half trip to Newcastle, Indiana, the same place where Steve Alford used to play basketball, and a big old 9,000, I think 9,200 when they get all the seats out, 9,200 seat gym. I'll be down there on Press Road, man. I am excited for this one. Number two versus number four of the state are colliding in the regional round. And some are saying this will be an early, whoever wins this will win the state championship. I am publicly, don't mind saying this, rooting for the local team to win. I want, because they're really, really good. But also, Philip, I want to keep covering them from these basketball games in these big gyms in Indiana. So I'll leave you with that, and love being on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's all I call fun. And again, Jay, appreciate the time, and look forward when we get to do again some time down the road.
Absolutely.
As always, always fun having Jay on the show talking all things college football. Check out the show. Check out the Jay Stevens podcast. A lot of good sports conversations he has on there. A lot of great sports takes by him. And if you are interested in Ohio State Buckeyes, go check out Locked On Buckeyes. Check them out on our podcast, or you can check them out on YouTube. Just go check them out. Jay does a great job with all that. And that's going to do it for today's show. Appreciate you checking out this podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review. I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You check out the show over at Wiregrass Daily News. You can watch it over on the Wiregrass Daily News Facebook page or on my YouTube channel, Philip Jordan Sports. Just go check it out. Really appreciate it if you would go and do that. Send me an email, sports.philjordan@gmail.com. Check out all my written work over at Last Word on college football. We'll try to do another one later on in the week. If not, talk to you next week, but we'll talk to you when we talk to you. Anyways, I appreciate you checking out the show. It really means a lot. And until next time, bye-bye.